we thought that was maybe the right choice for our first RBT, a little more mature. But she had been a stay-at-home mom recently. And so she came out to do her first day of training, and she had what seems to be like a mental breakdown or an anxiety panic attack, something along those lines. Now, she didn't tell us until the next day when I called her to see how everything went and how she was feeling, and she said, I'm going to actually have to withdraw from this position, which totally fine. So we went with the other candidate who was very young, just fresh out of college, and it's been a process. We interviewed her in person, and at the time she was wearing a big sweater, and I'm not in tune with things like that. So we found out that she was actually like 8.5 months pregnant when we hired her.
Hi, my name is Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3Pi² ABA Business Leaders podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3Pi² has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to ABA Business Leaders Podcast, brought to you by 3Pi². I'm April.
Steven.
And with us today, we have Joe Wilson. He's operations manager at Imagination Station. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
So today we are going to be talking about onboarding new staff. And so we brought on one of our ABA Business Leader members, Joe, because him and his wife are have a new ABA business, and they are in the beautiful, wonderful, fun stages of hiring new staff. And so we get a lot of questions about the whole onboarding situation, right? It's a hot topic that a lot of people are still learning the ins and outs of. It can be overwhelming. There are a lot of pieces to it. And so I think that a lot of people out there who are thinking about starting their ABA business or are in the process of starting, or, you know, you've been in it for 10 years and you're, you know, always making changes and, you know, growing or whatever, we all like to know what's happening with other people in our same like group, right? Like, how are they doing it? Is it hard for them? You know, like, cause we all just like to have that like camaraderie of, okay, this is a hard thing and that we're all working on together. We're all in the trenches. So we invited Joe on, and we're just gonna chat about his process of, you know, where they're at in the process and how we can help. And we'll just go from there.
Yeah. One thing just before we start, we are not attorneys.
We have no
business doing attorney things. So, we do recommend to everyone, we need like a referral code for these people, but it's LegalShield.com is a great resource for small ABA practices, because I think it's like starts at $70 a month, and you'll get an attorney in your state that you can reach out to, and they can kind of guide you to make sure you're not missing anything, or if you have to let someone go for, you know, different reasons, having that support is always a good thing to have. So, yeah.
So, yes, disclaimer, check.
Yes.
All right. Well, so, Jim, tell us a little bit about where you guys are and, like, in the beginning stages of your business and, like, with onboarding, and how's it going?
Yeah, so my wife and I, she's, you know, the lead BCBA and clinical director, and I'm doing all of the operations side. And we ran with just her as a solo provider since April. And we just started getting, you know, as it goes, word of mouth recommendations, and other kids at the facility she's at started getting diagnosed, and people would, you know, refer her. So we got to a point where it was like, okay, we have to hire someone. I don't know if you want me to kind of, I think I might have told you guys before about our first hire, We came down to two candidates for this RBT position that we hired, and we ended up going with someone who was a little older. We thought that was maybe the right choice for our first RBT, a little more mature. But she had been a stay-at-home mom recently, and so she came out to do her first day of training, and she had what seems to be like a mental breakdown or an anxiety panic attack, something along those lines. Now, she didn't tell us until the next day when I called her to see how everything went and how she was feeling, and she said, I'm going to actually have to withdraw from this position, which totally fine. So we went with the other candidate who was very young, just fresh out of college, and it's been a process. We interviewed her in person, and at the time she was wearing a big sweater, and I'm not in tune with things like that. So we found out that she was actually like 8.5 months pregnant when we hired her. So that's been a process of getting her trained while also having a newborn at home. We really liked her and we wanted to continue working with her and supporting her. So she's actually just at the point now, that was in November that we hired her, and we're just finally getting to the point where she should start working soon. So that was something that I kind of didn't realize, was I was kind of the mind hire, whether they already have their certification or we help them get their certification. As soon as they get it or they already have it, they start working. And I was dead wrong on that. There's just so much legwork that goes into actually getting them going, whether it's credentialing with like TRICARE, because we see a lot of TRICARE, or just from our own legal side, like you were saying, trying to make sure we're good to go for workers' rights and all the signing. And it's been a lot more than I was expecting.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
I mean, one thing you could do just as a tip, and anybody listening to this, as you start that process of onboarding people, start to write down how long it's taking your staff to get through some of these things, right? Like, how long is it taking people? I get it's a 40-hour training, but is it really taking 40 hours? Is it taking 60 hours? Or is it taking, you know what I mean? So, and then as you go, setting up some expectations on how long these things should take, right? I think is a good idea. So, I don't know where we want to go with this.
Yeah, that was something we ran into with them. So, we just hired our third RBT. So, we hired the original girl that we ended up helping get her certification, and then we hired someone who had just moved from California that was already certified, and then we just hired another recent college grad, psychology grad. So we're in the middle of helping her, and it's been fun/challenging. They're all on such different timelines.
Right.
Our third hire, she finished that course as soon as she possibly could, whereas the first girl was in the middle of having a child. So that took obviously a lot longer. And it's, you know, she kept checking in and saying, well, how long do you expect me to take on this? And I'm new. But I'm also trying to project like, you know, hey, I've done this before. Sure, it should take X amount of time. But I didn't know. And I still don't know, honestly. So that's somewhere that we're trying to work out our own processes. What are our expectations for if we hire somebody green? What should we tell them they should have this done by?
Yeah, that's definitely important, and is having the expectations laid out, that process, right? And I think that's where a lot of people are saying, okay, help. Like, what are the processes? What are all the pieces and what should be done first? And what's, you know, what are the priorities? And of course, there is going to be some, it's going to depend on your state a little bit as far as like just for the general like employment.
Yeah, and even your funder, right? Like, paperwork. As you mentioned, TRICARE has this really wild background check that we need to do. It can be very pricey. You may get some school contracts that require fingerprint checks or, you know, certain trainings before you can come into the school.
Right.
So,
definitely first steps are keeping a list as you're learning all of these different pieces for all the different funders and, you know, all of that. Combining, making a list of all the things that need to happen timing of all of that too. One thing that's really super helpful hiring RBTs is, and we started doing this, is assessing, having a specific assessment to go through with new RBT hires, whether they have the RBT certification already or whether they you know, have 10 years experience, right? Because depending on who they worked with prior, how, where they got their training and how that clinic even worked, right? We started to learn that just because an RBT had their certification and had X amount of years behind their belt didn't necessarily mean that they had the skills that we needed them to have. And so we started doing an assessment across the board, basically like from the task list, looking at all the pieces. And then also we added like a few other like soft skills or organizational pieces like that were particular to our company. And we just started that as part of the onboarding intake process of, okay, to assess where their skills were. It wasn't like a prerequisite to the job. Let's say there was no failing on it, but let's say they failed, it doesn't mean that they can't work with us. It just helped us to see where we would need to start training and how much training they would need. Right. Because the 40-hour training alone is not enough for them to just hop in and start working, right? And it also depends on the needs of the child that they're providing services for as well, right? There are kids that are a little bit, you know, it just takes different skill sets to deal with different kids. And then if you're in a school setting, like the politics and the professionalism of working with the teachers and the other staff of the school, and what are you allowed to say? Who can you talk to about it's like there's a lot there that you don't think about until you start having like these fires left and right that you're putting out, right?
Yeah, and I start going through scenarios in my head as I'm like talking to the employees that we've hired. You know, one big thing that we try to emphasize with our RBTs is that not only is this like a client that you're seeing, like you are, in our opinion, supposed to become an advocate for the child, right? But then I start thinking the way I'm phrasing that as being an advocate, I don't want them to be adversarial to the teachers who they're in the classroom with. So I'm like always doing this juxtaposition of like, be the child's advocate, but you better get along with the people whose classroom that you're in, you know?
Right.
So
right.
Trying it's to like, think of scenarios before they happen.
Exactly. It's like they're in, I guess it's similar to like when you're in another teacher's classroom, there is a lot similar to being in someone's home, right? And so like that's their home, there's a classroom culture, a school culture, or a home culture there. And it's the same thing when you're sending texts in home too, right? It's like, be respectful. And, you know, there's some level of, okay, do you take your shoes off at the door? Do you, you know, of course we, you know, dressing professionally, but yet appropriately for being down on the floor playing with little kids, right? And, you know, how to still be a child's advocate with the parents as well, right? Because how do you talk to the parents about their child, right? Like, you can't just come in telling parents how to, like, bossing them around, because that's not going to work either, right? We're all parents here. We know we wouldn't appreciate that.
Yeah, and that's something we're running into is we're trying to we're trying to actually put into words and onto paper what kind of person we're trying to hire. When we sit down with them, we're pretty much on the same wavelength as far as what kind of personality we're looking for. But I know in the future, we should really have that kind of quantified. What are we looking for outside of just like, as kids say, no vibes, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. And, you know, it really does start with a job description because yes, to bring people in to want to work with a job, but the expectation of the employee starts with the job description, because if you can go back to the job description, right? Because it's like figuring out how to word, yeah, what behaviors that you want to see from your employee, and but then also behaviorally how to like objectively define those things, right? So that it's professional and clear, the expectation is clear. And so, like, one of the things that we had a hard time with was, you know, needing, because most of our kids that we worked with were like 2 to 12, with a huge emphasis in that, like, preschool age. And so we needed people who had the physical capability of getting down on the floor. You know, we needed bubbly personalities. We needed, you know, like, there were certain things that we needed, and it really took a while, and there was a learning curve of, like, how do we say this and it not come across?
And legally as well, right?
Exactly.
Like, how do you do these things?
Yeah.
And the other thing, you know, when we were talking, Martin Myers, is that one of the things that I liked, he said was, if you can't figure out what it is that you want, write down what it is that you don't want, yeah. Right? What do I not want to see with my texts? I don't want them to come late every day. Right. I don't want to see at the end of the week, 15 of 15 sessions, not a session notes not completed, right? These are things that that we can't have. So.
Yeah, those worst case scenarios that you're playing in your head. Okay, those are the things you don't want to happen. Yes. So what can you put in place, not to happen?
Yeah. Sometimes it's easier to see what I don't want versus what I want. You know what I mean? Yeah.
April and I are so honored to have Margin Keeper sponsor this podcast.
Running an ABA business comes with its share of challenges. Managing clients, staff, insurance, the list goes on.
One thing you shouldn't add to your stress, bookkeeping. That's where Margin Keepers comes in.
They're specialists in ABA businesses, which means they understand exactly what we need.
With Margin Keepers handling your finances, you can focus on what really matters, your clients, and your practice's growth.
They're more than just bookkeepers. They're lifesavers in the financial world of ABA.
So for peace of mind and expert financial management,
turn to Margin Keepers. It's a decision that will lift a weight off of your shoulders.
Check out Margin Keepers at www.marginkeepers.com and see how they can help your business thrive.
My wife, Katie, and I had a situation where when we were going through with one of the new hires, like standards of procedure, and we were talking about session note taking. And she was kind of asking some questions, and she looked at me and Katie and she said, well, how long should I take on my notes? And Katie and I like looked at each other and we were like, oh, we didn't define that yet. So we just kind of off the cuff, you know, 15 minutes or so, but we'll be flexible in that you're our first employee, you know, let's try to figure this out together. But we both, after the meeting, were like, oh, we got to hammer that down.
Yeah, definitely. And so for sure, as you're going through these things, like, just keeping a running list of, okay, these are all the things that are coming up, right? Within our training platform, we have like that assessment that I was talking about before, within that's helpful. And we are also creating alongside of that onboarding pieces to put in within that, because I think that, I mean, yes, we all know that the task list and the ethics codes, very important, like we have to have those, right? And we want the RBT to be knowledgeable of those and to follow those, but there are all those soft skills, so many different skills that also you need to be able to assess the, you know, that level coming into it, right? Of if it's their first job out of college, maybe they haven't learned like some of the work ethic or professionalism or how things work. Yeah. So, and I think that when you're going into this and you're hiring people, it's so easy to have that like tunnel vision, right? Like of, okay, this is what we do. Okay, we're ready to hire techs. So let's hire techs, and then let's like work on all the clinical. We know we're gonna need to train them, like, on how to work with each individual kid, right? Because each individual kid has their own different treatment plan. They're only, you know, different approaches. Yes, there is like the general science of ABA behind it that, you know, we hope that they get. The RBTs have that general understanding, whether they're new or not, that they've gone through the 40 hours. At least they know some of the terms and get the idea of what they're doing. And then so you're going to pour all this time into them clinically to teach them how to work with the kids. And then we realize that that's not quite the story. There are all these other pieces.
One of the last RBT we hired, I was doing some training with her yesterday, actually, and she asked me if I had any advice for her. And I told her, I said, I'll be transparent with you. I'm new to this too. So as far as clinically, no, I have no advice for you. I said, you should talk to my wife about that. I said, but my advice for you is you can't expect to be amazing at this right away. Like, you're just not going to be. And she said, oh, that makes me feel better, because when I was doing my RBT competency checklist, your wife kind of intervened into a child was swinging his lunchbox around with his mouth. And the way she intervened, I thought to myself, I wouldn't have done that, or I wouldn't have thought to do that. Will I be able to do that? And that was kind of an interesting question. I've been thinking about it from my end. Will they be good enough? I didn't really consider that they're probably internally also thinking that the whole time. So
yeah,
I realized that's probably going to be a challenge too, is like giving these people confidence, even though I don't even know if I should have confidence in you yet, other than the fact that I hired you.
Right. Well, and I think too that you said it, like, transparency and communication are the most important. You know, as you're learning through those first few hires, as you know, your new company, and there's that learning curve there. The more of that happens, right? Like, you learn more and more, but along the whole process, the most important thing and the thing that you can do right now from the start, and you can do in every case, is that communication and transparency. And being like, being truthful that, hey, some of these things we are learning together, but here's what I can tell you. You know, you can come to me and you can ask as many questions as you need to. I think, you know, a lot of people are worried and concerned about asking questions. And yeah, sometimes it can get really annoying to answer a million questions. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we would rather our staff come to us and ask those questions versus assume and not be following the expectation, especially in the beginning when you know that maybe the expectation isn't super clear because you're all still trying to figure it out together. Mm-hmm. So I love that you have that communication and transparency there.
Yeah, we definitely have one who will ask and more questions than are totally necessary at all. But I'm just, like you just said, I'm just trying to, I'd rather you ask than just assume and then I have to correct you later. So yeah. I just kind of deal with that.
Well, so do you have any specific questions or about the processes, or I don't know, do you have any questions about, like, how can we help?
Yeah, as far as just, We really go back and forth on the idea of hiring green versus experienced. And we tend to lean towards hiring new just because from past experience, it's almost like when we put those Indeed recs out, it's kind of interesting to see what happens. We get an initial flood of like maybe 10 applications. And they could be anything from, you know, a bartender or like a, you know, we get all kinds of the spectrum of people trying to, they just see, you know, what we're paying, that it, you just need a high school diploma, and that's kind of, they're off. But then what I'm finding interesting is then you see it like lunchtime every day, you get actual RBT experience applications starting to come in. But that gives me pause because I'm like, okay, are they on their lunch break at wherever they're working, or are they driving to their next client, whatever it may be? And I seem to get a lot of no-shows I think you guys gave us the advice to do a screener call first so you don't get no-showed at an interview, right? So a lot of people don't show up for the phone call that are searching during lunchtime. And it makes me nervous about hiring experience because it makes me wonder how many of these people are kind of disgruntled in their position that they're at currently and maybe having a bad day that morning. And they're like, well, I'll show them. I'll go find a new RBT job. So that worries me. Why is an RBT looking? I can't pay them the most money right now because we're so new. And are you just going to keep hopping RBT jobs the second somebody gives you criticism or, you know? So your opinion on, you know, new versus experienced. And...
Yeah, it's really tough. That's a question that we get asked a lot. And I believe it was in one of our last ABA business leader panels. I feel like it might have been Jen. I think it might have been Jen that said that she used to be that way. She used to pass on any resumes that the RBT had multiple job experiences, like every 6 months they were changing jobs. And her opinion was she stopped doing that because as she started learning more about it, it was that these people were coming from not so great places of employment. And that when they did come and did, she started giving them a chance. Because, you know, at some point we all are like, okay, fine, we're just going to take whatever interviews we can get because we really need to get our staff built back up if you, you know, whatever. And as she started talking more and more and learning about these people and hiring some of them and them turning into good employees, realized that it was they just weren't supported in the current place of employment. And that's had a lot to do with why they were job hopping. So just hadn't found their place yet. Now, that being said, of course, I'm sure there are some people who are job hoppers, right? And when they get frustrated or irritated at a job, then peace out and go on to the next place. I mean, I think that's just some people's personalities and how they handle their issues. As far as new versus green versus experienced, you know, I can't say one or the other, but I will say that that's why we started assessing skills in the door. Yeah. There were some experiences with seasoned RBTs, and they were amazing. And we were so thankful that they came to join us and worked with us. And then there were some seasoned RBTs who had learned a lot of really incorrect information and had maybe picked up bad habits along the way, you know. They, you know, or maybe they just didn't quite match with our values and our work culture, and they didn't work out with us and they didn't stay with us for very long. But same with green, you know, some people we would hire them green and we would go through all the training and we would even say like, oh, they've got the it factor, like this person, oh, she's great with kids, or he's really creative, or, you know, they haven't canceled once yet. and all of the training, and this is going to really work out. And then it get into the point where they start their full caseload with their clients, and then it ends up that it doesn't work out because they realize this is more than I thought, or this isn't as fun as I thought it would be, or I'm already burnt out 2 weeks into this job. This is not for me. I think I'd rather go work at Chick-fil-A. And so it's really hard to say. There really is. It seems like grass is greener on the other side, and there are pros and cons to both. But I hate that I don't have an answer for you. But I know you do. but my answer is either way, then you make sure that you're screening everybody from the beginning on all those skills to see really where they are, how you can support them. And then also my other piece is to make the training process as rigorous and as strict as possible. Especially when we were starting out, I was so easygoing. Oh, don't worry, we're all learning together. And there's a place for that, because that's true. You're all learning together. But as I got more experience of leadership and business owner, and I started figuring it out, we had a very strict, you know, you got, whether you had your 40 hours or not, you had to, you know, come in and take a test. You had to go through a lot of the same training. I don't care if it's boring. I'm going to see if you're going to show up on time. I'm going to see that, okay, it's not exciting and boring. Are you going to bail? Are you going to still be interactive? Are you still going to, you know, are you going to offer suggestions? Are you going to ask questions? Like, you know, just looking at the whole big picture, we started doing like training on a very strict schedule, like a 9 to 5. And we had a very like, okay, from 9 to 11, you do this. From whatever, this is the time you take your lunch break. Oh, are they going to come back from the lunch break? Are they going to get back on time? Like, so there were so many things embedded in that process that wasn't just about signing their, you know, like some people are like, oh, here's your, just the regular like tax documents and like all that legal stuff you have to have them sign at the beginning. People are like, oh, can I take this home and review it? And most of the time I said, well, actually I need you to I need that done here. Or if they did take it home to review it, then, because I understand, especially if you're like, you know, in a marriage, you might want to talk to your spouse or something about like what you signed, the tax doc, whatever, you know, I get that. So I would give them a very strict, you know, return date. Okay, yes, that's great. That's fine. But I need it back by X amount of time, right? If you would have told me I would have been like that from the beginning, I would have been like, yeah, no, that's that. Like, I'm not okay with that. That's a little too much. That's a little too far. Right. But we were able to screen people out. Like, I would much rather lose people in the trading process than lose people, you know, 2, 4, 6 weeks into actually working with the kid. Yeah, I don't know. Is that what you were going to?
I mean, that absolutely. No. I totally agree with that. I think that that was something that we refined over the years. And I think that
it took like 10 years to get to that.
That point. That's a really important part, is making that onboarding process really robust with expectations. And if they aren't meeting those expectations, put a plan in place and then see what happens. And the other thing that a lot of people will come to me and say, hey, I just have this feeling, I don't know if I should keep. If you have that, trust your gut, that is super important. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is that you're seeing, you know, deep in the depths of your mind, but there's something there, and I would absolutely trust your gut because it's really important. I think more times than not, when we got that, I don't know about this feeling, and we tried and tried for months sometimes, and then they're seeing the clients, they're making relationships.
The hard thing was the people that you like, right? Those people that you like, and you can see they're putting in an effort, and they're like, you can kind of like have a conversation with them, and you like, I don't know, like you just kind of gel with them. You're like, hey, I can go get coffee with this person outside of work. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You're just like, I like this person, or they have a story, right? They come with a story, and we're all like, you know, we get into this ABA business thing because we like to help people, right? And so, you know, people come with a story, and it's really hard to, you know, it's really hard.
It's like just anecdotally, it's a war between myself too. I'm so idealistic of how we're going to treat our employees, because, you know, you just hear so many horror stories about how techs are treated, and you're like, I'm never going to be that side of it. And then I also have, my father was a very successful manager for a big grocery chain around here. And so he's in my ear always being like, these people aren't your friends. Like, you cannot treat them like friends, you know, but I don't want to be like that. But then, you know, it's that balance that I'm trying to grow into, you know. Just, we've already had one of our techs, so we start, you know, with a week of PTO in the bank, and then they can accrue more as they work. Well, due to circumstances outside of our control, this particular tech hasn't gotten to work yet. Well, she said, hey, I've got bills in February coming up. Can I use 2 weeks of my PTO? And now I'm stuck being like, well, technically you only have one, but should I like cater to that and just say, well, yeah, you can use 2 weeks of it, even though you only have one banked. So those are interesting things I didn't think of either, is like the people factor of there's always going to be something going on in one of your tech's lives or two of your tech's lives, whatever it might be. And you got to make a decision. Am I going to be strict because, you know, do I want her to tell the other techs like, hey, if you just ask him for an advance on your PTO, he's going to cave.
Yeah.
So that's something that, like, you know, Steven, I feel like you probably were a little more strict with that, but I'm, you know, the beginning of this journey, I feel like a little soft right now.
Yeah.
No. In the beginning, like one of our first employees, she needed gas money to get to work. And I don't even know if you know this. Steven's like giving me this look. And I gave her gas money. I gave her like in advance or whatever. And then I think I ended up just like losing that money. It was like $20 or something. I only did it once because I realized I was like, okay, this is, it was our, I think it was one of our first employees. And then I realized I was like, this is not the game I thought I was playing. Yeah. That I don't know where I landed in this like ABA world, but this is not where I like it. So there is a learning curve, but I will say, and I say this so often, but Brené Brown has saying, I think a lot of people know her a lot by this, but it's like clear as kind, right? And to be a sturdy leader, just like, you know, a parent where our kids need boundaries, right? And they need to understand the expectations. Of course, we fail all the time, right? Like we're learning in our parenting journeys as well. But I think being an employer, having those, you know, communicating those very clear boundaries and holding them. It doesn't mean that we have to be, I'm trying to keep this not explicit version. We don't have to be, you know, an a-hole or, you know, we don't have to be mean about it, right? But keeping those boundaries, because it does help in the long run, it even will help that person, because that person who's asking for extra money or extra time or extra whatever now this early into it, and you give it to them because A, you really want to be, you want to help them and you want it and nurture them and you want them to be with your company and stay with your company, and at the same time, like if you start to set that precedent from the beginning, then how far is that going to go? Like, where is the boundary? Eventually, there's going to have to be a boundary. So I find that it's a little bit easier and perhaps kinder to hold that line sooner in the relationship than later. It does cut down on some drama, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. But at the same time, it's knowing where your values are. And, you know, I know that you guys have very strong boundaries and intention behind starting Imagination Station. I love that name. And so you have to use those as like your guardrails to help you to know like how far you're willing to go, right? And you could still be a compassionate and kind boss and hold boundaries at the same time.
Yeah. Just going back to that question about what do I like green or experience? My personal part, when I look back at my previous experience as an engineer and when I look at our company, I know the absolute two attempts that we had that I would never want to ever see again. Both of those had experience, and they had a lot of experience, and they would let me know how much experience that they had, right? And the absolute two best that I would, like, I would still email and say, how are you doing? They came to us green.
Yeah.
And I do agree with you, though, April, that it's like, I could, you know, go one way or the other. I will say, like, there are a couple of personality traits versus does this person have experience or not have experience? And willingness to learn. Like, I don't care if you come to me with a GED or you come to me with a master's degree. Yeah. If you are willing to take feedback and willing to learn, then you can stay here as long as you want. And when I was an engineer and I was training techs or I was training other engineers, like the PhDs were always like the absolute worst to have to deal with, because they would let you know very well and very often they were a PhD and you had no business telling them anything, right? And so you go, okay, all right, we'll see how this goes. And then they would come around eventually. But having to deal with that for 6 months to a year, their realization that they, just because they have this higher level of degree, that maybe they don't know everything. It takes a lot of time, right? So where I could get somebody off the street and teach them how to do it, as long as they were willing to let me teach them, right? So that was my, and I would want that feedback, right? Like, tell me how to teach you so that I can teach you, right? Like, I am totally open. What's the best way to teach you, right? Is it like on the job, or is it, you know, give you an opportunity and then give you feedback so that there's just having that, like, openness, right?
Visual support, 100%. Or do you need cheat sheets?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And providing them that situation. And, like, you know, one thing that, you know, going through this, I always consider myself the remover of barriers. So how can I remove the barriers so that you can get to work on time, right? How can I remove the barriers so that you can provide quality services?
Doesn't mean getting them gas money.
No, it does not mean, it does not mean that. And so, like, and you know, you going back to that, should I give this person 2 weeks or should I don't know what to do, right? I'm not going to tell you what to do, right? Because this person, you give them the 2 weeks, and they may be your loyalist BT forever for life, right? Yeah. Or they may be the person that says, you gave me 2 weeks, see ya, right? Like, I'm leaving, right? Hey, you gave me that 2 weeks notice, or you gave me that 2 weeks vacation, I'm putting in my 2 weeks, right? Like, they may be there's no way to know that, right? And I could be super jaded and cynical and say, pooh, you shouldn't do that. But that's not true, because it could be that this person's going through a real rough patch right now, and you providing that, you know, is like, wow, I can't, like, no one else would have ever done this. Now I know that they're here to support me, right? So I can't say one way or another on that, but I will tell you, like, if we were talking about who's like April in those when we had to let somebody go, like, dude, I'd have, my eyes were watery, right? Like, a sitting over here like a blubbering idiot, and April was like cold, just like a rock solid, and they'd be like, yeah, really, I would have never let me go. Yeah, I know, right? I know.
Now in our parenting journey, it's the opposite. You can flip that around. Yeah.
But like with employees, man, there are some, they would just completing like and give those stories, and I'd be, oh my god, we gotta help these people, right? But yeah,
I think in those particular individuals, I could see the pattern, right? Yes. I'm pretty good at seeing patterns in people's behavior. And I gotta end it. And I'm not sure, like, it was like totally dissociation too, though. Like, I just had to like turn off all my feelings. I don't know how healthy that was and the long term effect of like burnout. Right. And, you know, that might be why we ended things. But I kept a very like black and white in those situations, right? Because unfortunately I had made the decision that this isn't going to work, and I knew I had to pull the band-aid.
I mean, there are those obvious cases where they had 6 flat tires or their grandma died 5 times, right? Like, but some of those are like, okay, you got it. But like some of those, they would pull at your heartstrings, right? Like, I need this job for my... Well, then why the heck are you showing up, right?
I watched those HR videos. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. I don't even remember where that was like back in the day. It was like, was that the beginning of YouTube or something?
Yeah.
But I watched those HR videos. It was terrible, like role play. Oh, they were just terrible to watch, but they were very helpful. Yes. And she was like, no, like, do facts. Not, you can't continue these conversations because it's going to escalate things. It's like your kid, like, begging for more video time. At some point, you gotta stop it.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, not, you know, overgeneralization, like, not all PhD level people I've worked with have been difficult to work with.
I'm going
to
say 90% of them.
And not all high school graduates have come into it with a learning, you know.
No.
But I will say, in case any of our previous staff are listening to this, some of my two, I shouldn't say favorite, but some of my two most loyal employees who stuck with us through came to us as RBTs and with experience, but they already knew they were doing this for life. They found their calling, they found, like, and they were just looking for their home, like, their ABA home to be able to, like, go through the rest of their schooling and get the supervision they needed to become a BCBA. And those were some of our best, nearest and dearest employees. But I think there, again, that goes back to the personality.
Yeah.
Is this just a job? which that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Or is this a calling, or is this like your career path? And this is just the beginning of it, and you still have a way to go, and you're looking for support in doing that.
But if you can identify, like my personal opinion, like I said, if you can identify that person is willing to learn, willing to accept feedback, and willing to give feedback, honest feedback, that's the person to keep, right? Like, and I wouldn't concern myself so much with a degree. If, as long as your funder doesn't require it.
Right.
Right.
There are those pieces you have to.
I would totally go with that person. Yeah.
I like to, in just my personal, and this, obviously we've hired 3 people, so I might change on the 4th person. But so far we've been getting a lot of fresh out of college applicants and a lot of psychology based, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's always been that way, or if with how much ABA is growing the past 5 years, if that's, you know, psych students are now actually learning about ABA. So maybe that's, but I personally like that just because I at least know you have some sort of skills to learn, and you've probably gotten criticism throughout your university experience or worked in a team somewhat in that experience. Mm-hmm. So just personally so far, everyone we've hired has a bachelor's, but that might change. I don't know.
You know, absolutely. That's a really good point. And another thing that I just thought of as well is being green to ABA, but not being green to the type of kids that we were working with, like, or the age group, right? So like I already said, we were mostly like preschool kind of young school age kids. And so if I had someone who had no experience in ABA, but they came to me like with 20, like they've been babysitting since they're 10,
yes,
you know, and they're comfortable with kids, mm-hmm, and being around kids, then that works great.
Well, more important, I think, is being okay with going to people's homes.
Right? Yeah, like, if you're doing in home, that's like a whole other skill set.
Yeah, because if you're going in home and you're like, ooh, I'm going in this home, right? Like, right. So just having some understanding of what you're going to see, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Or like those who are providing services to teenagers, you know, I will tell you, like, I am not your person to deliver services to a teenager. I'm not cool enough to work with teens. And my almost 10-year-old who told me last night that, mom, he's almost a tween. This is his last month as a kid. And in the next moment rolled his eyes at me and pretty much was like, yeah, mom, mom, that's not how you say that. No, mom, you're using that wrong. I am not for teens, right? And so we hired people who maybe were not for kids, right? Like, yeah. So you have being honest during the interview process and knowing like what age groups that you're providing services for could be really important too, and knowing if they have experience with children. Because I was really surprised at how many people came to interviews who had never babysat once and never like been around kids who came, and I was probably less likely to hire that group than like for any other reason, right?
Yeah,
we've definitely hired, all 3 of our hires have child care experience. Like, yeah. I think the 2 that I said had just recently graduated from college, they both had internships working with troubled youths in schools.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, maybe that would be a nice, like, you know, one-to-one flip over there. But I was wondering with you guys, like, I was just thinking while you were saying that about, you know, in the interview process, you try as hard as you can to get all the information. And like recently, we found out that one of the tech spouses is in the military and like they're deployed at the moment. And then when they come back, and this was just like casually as we were doing some trainings, she was like, you know, he's talking about how might have to move to Washington. And I was kind of like, so when is that? You know? Yeah. So is that just part of the thing? You just always going to get
yes. Nugget,
you know?
Yeah. Because there are laws and regulations and rules. And like we said earlier, I'm not an attorney and not an HR person, but there are specific things that you're not allowed to ask. You know, like, are you starting a family? you know, I don't know. I don't care. I'm not even going to pretend to know all the ins and outs of that. But I do know that you have to be careful with what you ask.
Yeah, and right? I mean, you could ask, like, what are your short-term and long-term goals, right? Or, you know.
But they could still know they that could, they're moving next yeah, year they, and they, not they, not yeah, mention that.
Absolutely. There's especially if they're used to moving, right? And they right. know, okay, if I answer this question, I say, well, I'll be here for about 3 months. No one's going to hire them, right?
We so. Were also in a very, like, in a yes. military area in yeah. Northern Virginia, right? And so yeah. we also came across that, people yeah. who... And they some didn't have any notice, right? 30 days. They got 30 days to get out, right? Like, to move yeah. on to their next or their husband go or their, you know, one of the spouses goes ahead and paves the way. And then the other spouse is left to, like, get things going to go too. And so then they end up having to end, right? So.
Yeah, I think that this is one of those things like this. You know, there are a few things that I didn't handle correctly in the moment, or for in the moment being 10 years. But like worrying about insurance is probably one of the big things on my list, right? Are they going to process claims correctly? Are we going to get a bunch of denials? What am I going to do, right? So getting a meditation practice is probably a good idea, right? Instead of worrying about it, have the plan in place of what I'm going to do. But this is another thing, like, and just you lose so many people over the years, right? And you put the systems in place to reduce turnover, and yeah, that's great. And I think it's really important.
And it's not all bad people or bad employees. But
you'll have, like, that's the worst ones, right? It's the really good ones that say, oh, you know what? I decided to go back to university to get my master's degree in, I don't know, Colorado, right? And it's like, well, no, right? Like, or you know, my husband has got a new job out of state, we got to go. Those are, like, I don't know if it would be categorized as PTSD, but man, those are, like, you get those emails in the morning and you're like, oh, I know I'm not supposed to get an email from her at this time. And then you open it up and it's like, yeah, I knew it was going to get it, right? Like, and so just having that plan in place, you know, we're actually building a utilization skill or a utilization calculator. But if you're in growth, when should I start looking for techs and when should I start looking for BCBAs? But just having that system that you can say, okay, marketing person, we need another person, like, start the campaign, right? So that at least you know, okay, if I lose this person, we have the plan in place. So that we can start recruiting, you know, and have those, you know, we're working with another company and he's like, well, I have all the BCBAs I need right now, but I got some others that reached out. What should I do? And is like, nurture that, right? Say, hey, I'm sorry, I don't have that, but keep that communication open. Don't ignore them, right? So I think that even that can be helpful, right? Just having those systems in place so that if someone does leave, I know I can push this button and we can start the process again. But, like, that was something that was always on my mind, right? It was like, ugh, this person's really good. She's not going to last, right? Like, and then you know, just worrying about the denials and the insurance coming in on time, where they were always on me. So if that's how you feel, or anybody listening, if that's how you feel, I would urge you to again, get a meditation practice. That's very helpful for me. And then just put the plans in place, trust that you have the right plan in place. And then as you use the plan, modify it, make it better, right?
Well, and part of that plan is, like, the onboarding, too. Like, the more totally. That, I mean, you're still totally. In the baby newborn stages of yep. this, right? You're learning all of the hard things.
Yep.
And so as you're going through this process, you know, having, as you perfect the onboarding process, it's going to be a little less daunting. I mean, it's just part of the job, but it is going to be less daunting and you'll know what to expect and you'll have it all together. You're not going to be recreating the wheel every time you have to hire somebody new. You're going to be like, hey, here's my folder. Let's go through the process.
It does get easier. It really and you does. Well weed out people easier over time. You just well, like, you'll just say, yeah, I can tell this person, their mannerisms, their tone, what they're coming with, are they prepared, did they provide resumes or not, right? What is their feedback when you ask them a question. Like, I was looking on the Facebook page, somebody was doing a Zoom interview, and they're like, this person was looking down at their phone every time, and she was like, oh, she's on ChatGPT right now, right? Like, I'm pretty sure she's looking at her phone and reading the answers to the questions I'm asking, right? Like, you're just going to see those things. And then for me, it'd be like, yeah, we're not doing Zoom anymore, right? Like, we're going to have these face-to-face unless it's a telehealth position, right?
Right.
But, like, those are the things you're going to see over time, and it will get easier. But it doesn't, like, that's still there, right? And
right, because even with us, with the interviewing process, I started really making such a casual. I made them so casual because I wanted people to drop their guard pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I would rather just chit-chat about the weather and then see where that takes us for a couple of minutes. Of course, we're still professional.
You have your standard questions.
We still have our standard questions, you know. But, you know, we were more casual, and we did include like texts in BCBAs in our interviews and stuff like that. So as you grow, that's something that you'll be able to do, is like have bigger panels so that you have feedback from others as well.
Yeah.
We found a lot of success with the, when you apply for the job, if we like your resume, I talk to them for 15 minutes on the phone, and then I'll tell Katie like, oh, this one, awesome resume, seems personable, but I don't ask them any questions in terms of like anything to do with working with children. I tell them, right, we're going to meet in person at Starbucks, and my wife will ask you more pointed questions about your experience with kids. And that, knock on wood, seems to be working well so far. And I would recommend that to anybody who's like starting the process. Don't waste your time with, you know, oh, this person's resume is great, let's meet at Starbucks right now for an hour. Like,
right,
we've had a lot of no-shows just for the phone call. I would have been really upset if I had gotten no-showed so many times at a Starbucks, but
yeah,
that's working well.
Totally.
One question I had for you guys is kind of about the process of being so new and small and competing right now with the big and established. I've kind of been playing around with this idea that I'm almost warning the people we're hiring that what else is out there. And I don't mean it to seem like I'm being tricky to them by any means, but I am telling them, like, in our area specifically, you know, we have a couple contacts with other companies, and there's some companies right now that are sniping techs, BCBAs, all the above. They're offering them just way more than anyone else can afford, but then once they hire them and bring them on, they're not giving the hours that they were promising. So I'm trying to, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, I'm wondering what y'all's thoughts on it. I'm trying to warn the techs we're hiring that this is a possibility. And I'm not saying, like, if somebody comes and offers you a ton of money, by all means, like, I get it. But I want you to know the downside that I'm hearing of these companies that come in and offer you a ton of money. And they seem pretty receptive to it. Now, will they accept that boatload of money in a month? I don't know. But
yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It could even be helpful. Okay, here are the questions to ask that company.
Yes.
Because that's what we do. Like, we, you know, like, because one, are you an employee or a contractor?
Yeah.
A lot of times they'll pay you more because you're a contractor, but you're not supposed to be a contractor,
yeah,
right? And then, you know, yes, you come in with hours, you don't have the hours, or you don't have guaranteed, you know, base pay, whatever. But yeah, like, say, you know, this is, especially if they're new to ABA, they might not have any idea. Mm-hmm. They might just see the dollar signs. They're like, oh, that's great. So, but, hey, just letting you know what's going on in the field right now. This is happening sometimes. If people come to you and offer, you know, here are the top three questions I would advise you to ask. And hey, if they're able to do that, my blessing to you, you know, do what's best for you and your family. But I just want you to be educated, have an understanding of just the culture that's going on right now. And then also just building that open door policy of, you know, if you do, like, I can't guarantee I'll say yes, but if you do have a request or you do need something, please come to me and we'll see what we can do. Because I don't want to lose you for 5 cents an hour or something, right? Like what? Oh, they give one more paid time off day a month or so. Okay, well maybe we can figure something out here, because ultimately that's going to be cheaper for you than hiring a new person, right?
Right.
In some of those cases. But yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. That just goes to your values, and you know, being transparent and communicating sounds like that's definitely in line with what your values are. And you can even state that, like, in interviews, like using your values in interviews, and not only, you know, not like an elevator pitch of these are our values and they're hanging on the wall here, but like, show as you like introduce these are our values, and then like as you're going through this whole onboarding process, them seeing that you guys are like acting within your values, it's going to build trust and it's going to build that like you know, that relationship hopefully. So
yeah, and adding to that just a little is like, these are our whys, right? Why did we start? Why do we do it this way? And just saying, this is, you know, you're going and said, we provide X amount of supervision, and why do we do that? So we can support you, right? So we can provide quality services to our families. And just to let you know that, like, I would urge you to ask that question at any other interviews you have, like, how much supervision, how much support am I going to get? Because this is something important. You need that support. We want to give it to you. Are they going to give it to you? And, you know, and just frame it like that, how we're different. And why we do it that way, so that they, because we have this presentation we've been shooting around now, right? We did a couple of conferences, red flags when you're starting to get hired, right? Or you're doing your interviews. What are the things that I should run from, right? Contractor being one of those things, right? Am I going to get support? How are you going to provide that support?
Paid training.
Yeah. So just things like that, because there are a lot of companies that are not doing what they really need to do, and that's unfortunate, and it gives ABA a bad name, and it puts these people that all they want to do is provide good services and be helpful to these families, and it puts them in really bad situations.
And I think that's where it can set you aside as a brand new startup as well. Because, yeah, some people are going to be leery about, I don't know if I want to start a startup.
Yep.
Especially, it doesn't seem like they have quite all their processes yet. I'm not quite sure what to expect or something, right? But is, hey, this is our why, and this is why we're, this is, you know, yeah, we could throw a list together really quick and pretend like we know how long it takes to do each thing. But No, you're part of our process. We're learning with you together. And if it's, you know, if it's not the right fit and that like freaks them out and they go, then so be it. But it could be that they're a really good fit and they could see like the beauty behind that of, oh, I can be part of this. I could be in the ground floor. I can be part of the why, and my why matches their why.
Yeah.
So, hey, sure, I can do this.
Yeah. And so, you know, we get this question often, and it's not related to employees, but like, how do I get clients? What should I do? Right. And the first thing is do good work. Right. And that'll almost take care of itself. And this is the same with employees, right? Like, if you say in the interview, oh yeah, we take feedback and we want to help you and support you. Well, then actually take their feedback and help them and support them, right? Like, don't, like, cause there are a lot of companies out there with flashy websites. Oh, we do this. And then they get in there. And like you said, you promised me 40 hours and I've got 5 this week. Right. Like, so like, don't do that, right? And I think that there are just a lot of companies that are over-promising and under-delivering, and that just puts a bad taste in these RBTs' mouths. And we need to support our techs, especially. Like, there are a lot of amazing techs out there, even if I've been bad-mouthing techs today. there are a lot of really good people. And those are the first to leave the field, right? Because they just can't take it anymore. So, yeah, if you say you're going to do something, I would urge you to do it. And if you can't, say, hey, look, I know I said I was going to do this thing, but here's the why. And this is how we're going to work with you to try our best to get that for you. Right. I think that that's being honest and genuine, I think, is what most people want. And I would take that over a dollar or more an hour, right? I would totally. Like, if I could work in a place where I felt supported and welcome and my feedback was welcome, you could pay me $10 more an hour. I wouldn't go somewhere else where I was just a number and I was unsupported and I was left to my own device. I just wouldn't want that. And I think most ethical techs don't want that either.
Well, there's data to support that.
Yeah.
That being a part of a purpose and value within a company can motivate employees to stay over a raise and not having that.
Yeah, I mean, they need it, of
they
course.
They need to be able to yes. pay their they bills. Need, yes, I yes. mean, they need to have, right. like, make yes. the, you know.
Yes.
But that other piece is super important
yeah.
and can keep them. Keep them
with
you.
Do you guys have any advice as far as, it just made me think of one issue that I am having is trying to explain hours in the field to people who are applying for these jobs. Because a lot of people, you know, we don't put that we're full-time. We put part-time, but people will ask, is there opportunity for full-time eventually? And I say, yes, but full-time in our field is a little different than just like punching yeah. the clock for 40 hours a week. So
yeah.
how would you guys used to manage part-time versus full-time and going from part-time to full-time hours-wise?
Yeah, so I mean, that is definitely a tricky one. It depends on if you have weekends and nights available. We did there for quite a while. We did a lot of weekends and nights. And if you wanted full-time hours, you would have to be open to working nights and weekends. And so that not everybody was that.
More like evenings.
Not overnight. Like that 4 to 7.
Yes, yes.
And so we were able starting when we were starting out, it was a lot of part time.
Yes.
We were able to give people more hours if they were more flexible within like where the needs of our clients were. As we grew, as we started getting more processes and stuff in place, we were able to give a base salary. And if I'm saying some of these words wrong, please correct me, but like essentially they were full-time salaried techs. And so, but they had, it didn't mean that they had 40 hours a week. They had like a base. And so they could at least count on, it was like 20 hours, whatever it was, like they could at least count on that, even if, you know, the whole town got the flu and they were going to miss out on sessions for several, for weeks or whatever, yes. right? And then we would bring them in for admin work. We would have them do trainings. There was always stuff. So they had that option. If their session got canceled and they were within their base, then they could come in and do other work, to make up for that. I don't even think we ever had a tech that had 40 hour a week because we were also in home. So there was drive time
Correct.
In there too. And we did find like a sweet spot of if we put someone in over a certain amount of hours, then they wouldn't last. They would get burnt out and they would start calling in. And so you could even have like, this is our cap and you can explain your why of the cap. Mm-hmm. And
30 hours seemed to be a really good spot, right, where most techs could handle it and they get the time
yeah.
that they needed.
And you're in school, so you have the beauty of that, like, it's not a 9-to-5 job, but you do have more daytime hours than maybe other providers have starting off because you have access to kids during the morning even, which is a huge thing.
But yeah, when we started, we were mostly part-time. I will tell you that you're going to have more turnover if all of your techs are part-time. It's just because they're going to find a job that's full-time and they're going to leave, right?
Like, or another part-time job and then the
totally.
Hours are
yes.
going to conflict.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's just an issue. And we found when we made that switch to only hiring full-time staff, both BCBAs and techs, our turnover drastically decreased. It just, if you can give somebody full-time hours, they're more than likely going to stay with you because they want to stay in this field. So that's something to be, you know, if at some point you can make that switch, it would be best, I think.
So pardon me if I just didn't understand. So you had a base of 20 hours that they were getting paid, like, no matter what. And then every hour after that was just added to their pay, or...
Yeah, so we had a base salary, and it depended, right? So, and then they would get that. It depends on their skill and how long they've been with us and all that stuff.
Now, of course, their base were, like, they would actually their normal schedule of one-on-one with kids would fill those base hours on a regular.
Correct.
We wouldn't like hire somebody for the base and then only have 5 hours for them to Correct. Do on the regular. Yes. We would make sure that their base was full on a normal week.
Yes. And then what we would do is we would have bonus. We have a bonus every pay period. So depending on the number of hours and their quality goal, then they would get a bonus. And so everybody had a quality goal and everybody had the availability to a bonus. So that's kind of what we would do, right? For that. And you could pick what your bonus is. Is it, do you just want more money on your paycheck or do you want time off? I personally thought everybody would want more money, but it was surprising to see how many people would cash that in for time off. Great. I don't know. So however you want to use it, it doesn't matter to me. And then, yeah, so that was what we would do. We found that was very helpful as far as turnover rate and supporting techs. And then the other thing that I would recommend, and we've been recommending this for a little bit now, is doing like a day in the life of, you know, your wife could do it. Say, hey, you know, kind of those TikTok videos, a day in the life of my job. Just to give them that and put it on your Indeed profile, just to give them an understanding of, okay, this is how their company works. And I think that will help the people that you're interviewing say, oh, okay, I get what you do here, and I'm gonna go ahead and do an interview. You know what I mean?
Cool.
It can be very helpful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we could talk for hours.
Oh yeah.
This is really a hot topic, but I am so thankful that you're willing to hop on and be part of this podcast today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you guys have helped us so much. So anytime, please.
Yeah, thanks. All right, well, I think that's it for today.
Huh? All right, cool.
All right, well, thanks everyone for listening and for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video, and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.